the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
Religion has a way of becoming external with people. They get caught up in ceremonies. They get caught up in superstitions. They repeat prayers. Jesus said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, ye hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortions and excess." Jesus is saying to them in this passage of Scripture, my friends, it is not the external, but the internal that needs cleansing. What you're going to do in your life depends on how well you control what you hear, what you see, what you feel with the five senses of the body. The battleground between God and Satan is the minds of man. And in that war, a great struggle takes place every day. It is our minds that need cleansing. It is our minds that we have to protect in order to control sin in our life.
When we get sick, the first step to recovery is finding the cause of our illness. In the same way, God has given to us in His Word a prescription for treating the symptoms of sin. Today, Dr. Wood turns to Mark chapter 7, beginning with verse 14, and shows us what Christ's remedy is for stopping sin at its source. Here now with today's message is the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood.
Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, I'll be reading verse 14 through verse 23. I hope you'll allow the Holy Spirit of God to apply to your heart the meaning of this passage of Scripture. Some passages are very strong. They teach us great lessons, but they also bring great conviction upon our heart when we read them or when we hear them. Starting at verse 14. And when he'd called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said to them, "Are ye also without understanding? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without it entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and it goeth out, and the draweth, purging all meats." And he said, "That which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Here in Mark 7, the Lord is speaking to the scribes and Pharisees. They had come out to an area just outside of the city where he had been preaching for some weeks now. And as a religious entourage, they came to listen to his doctrine, but most of them came to tell them of their doctrine, because there was a basic disagreement between the religious leaders of that day and between Jesus Christ. In other words, they came to debate with Christ and express their beliefs, which were in conflict with his beliefs. But as are most debates with God, it was very short. I find myself occasionally debating with God, but they're always short debates, and I always lose every time. That was this case. Here in verse 14, Jesus calls the crowds of common people that were waiting to hear him speak after he had just addressed the scribes and Pharisees. And he stressed that they should listen intently to what he had to say, because what he had to say was very, very important. This is God speaking. And he's about to make a big contrast between what the scribes and Pharisees thought and taught and what he thought and taught. And he said to them, you need to pay attention. He's about to correct the doctrine of the religious leaders of his day. He condemns their warped reasoning about cleansing from their sins, because their reasoning was built on ceremonial superstitions, washing, fasting, feast. In their case, everything they looked at was external but not internal. Religion has a way of becoming external with people. They get caught up in ceremonies. They get caught up in superstitions. They repeat prayers. They're always trying to put forth a front of external illusion about their religion. And Jesus is saying to them in this passage of Scripture, my friends, it is not the external, but the internal that needs cleansing. He's telling them that they need an internal change. Jesus is literally teaching in this passage of Scripture how to stop sin at its source. Many years ago, I heard an illustration from an old preacher that just made a profound impact on me. He said, just imagine if there's a very dangerous cliff at the edge of some woods in an area that people traverse often, and people keep, in the night, in the fog, in the rain, falling off of that cliff. There are two ways to fix this problem. If you go to the bottom of that cliff where people are lying and they're hurt, they've fallen accidentally off the cliff, and you can look at their pain and suffering, it's easy to raise money to build a hospital. And a lot of people will give to the building of that hospital for the folks that have fallen off this cliff. But the smartest thing to do would be build a fence at the top of the cliff to keep people from falling. And Jesus is saying here, there is a fence that can protect you from failing. He's teaching the most important principle of stopping sin at its source. Look at verse 21. Far from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murders, and so on. Here's the course of sin. It's first thought in the heart. It starts in the mind. Not the actual action, but it starts up here, in your head. The heart, as the Bible defines it, is a combination of the reasoning, the will, and the intellect, are literally the mind. One of the most marvelous things that God has given us is a human brain. Our brain is a computer. As I read the science of the brain, it fascinates me. And quite frankly, much of what I read, I don't understand. I was just reading a new release this morning in the Guyton textbook of physiology about the human brain. Over 100 billion neurons, the little fundamental message-carrying signal carriers of the brain. 100 billion. Can you even imagine what that number is? And each of these things are part of the basic functional unit of the brain. Little organ that weighs less than a pound, has the capability of receiving, sorting, and recalling 3 billion bits of information. Can you imagine that? Has an internal electrical supply that lasts your whole lifetime without charging the battery. What a marvelous thing. And here Jesus is saying, it's your minds that need washing, not your hands. They were focusing on the externals, but forgetting the internal mind and heart that needs cleansing. It is our minds that need cleansing. It is our minds that we have to protect in order to control sin in our life. Jesus said to these scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23:25, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, ye hypocrites! For you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortions and excess." Our minds, the battleground between God and Satan, is the minds of man. There's a war going on within your mind, within this marvelous brain that God has given to each of us. And in that war, a great struggle takes place every day. And what's thought in the mind will eventually be practiced in the life. Here's the great problem. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 23:7, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." As we process everything we come in contact with in life, everything we read, everything we see, everything we hear is processed through this marvelous organ of the brain that God gave us. And yet Satan is in the business of trying to pervert every gift that was given to us by God. And so he's in the business of taking this brain, this marvelous gift of God, and trying to pervert it for his use, and trying to consume your life with the life of sin. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's been said that a weak mind is like a microscope. A weak mind focuses on the minute, the little things. But you know what? A microscope can't see the big picture. You can't look at the world under a microscope. You can only look at little things under a microscope. But some people have trouble seeing the big picture. So what you process through your mind will eventually affect your life, what you do in life. That is so very important for us to grasp. It is so very important for us to understand. The characteristics of sin, verse 22, comes thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things proceed out of the human mind. God even uses an analogy of the physical part of man in eating. He said, here you're all worried about washing your hands and ceremonial cleansing, but the thing that concerns you most is the waste products that pass out of your body. God has produced this miraculous body that has the ability to separate that which is good from that which is bad, the foods you take in, and cast off the waste products. Even a baby suspended in amniotic fluid inside the placenta, God has provided a system that takes nourishment in from the mother and carries waste products out. And he's saying, look, I want you to look at what God made in the physical body, because there are going to be things that you need to get rid of. There are going to be waste products that you come in contact with, and you have to cast those off in order to keep your mind healthy. We know that to keep our body healthy. Now, these scribes and Pharisees were very upset about waste products, and we are too. But they have to be cast off in order to keep a body healthy. They have to be cast off in order to keep a mind healthy. The characteristics of sin is deceptive. Satan is a great deceiver. He takes things that are wicked and evil and gradually begins to make them look like good things. We're told by our modern society, free up your mind, loosen your mind, don't restrict your mind. We're told by the Bible, restrict your mind. Peter has told us, gird up the loins of your mind. You control what you think about. You control what you see. You control what you hear. Now think about that. What you're going to do in your life depends on how well you control what you hear, what you see, what you feel with the five senses of the body. And it's clear. Now, our minds are great computers. They have great capability to remember. But Satan perverts that capability to remember. By the grace of God, I've not looked at pornography. But when I was a pastor, a couple brought me a magazine they found with their teenage son. And as a pastor, I'm sitting there at my desk and I open this magazine. And do you know what? I still remember those pictures. They were horrible. And at that time, I learned a great lesson. These things are addictive. Pornography is addictive. Satan can call it back in your memory, and it's hard to get rid of, and it's hard to cleanse. If our mind's a great computer, there was a statement that often went around about computers when they were first becoming popular. Garbage in, garbage out. Well, that's true of the computer of your mind. You put garbage in it, and garbage is going to come out in your life. That's going to be the way you react. You know, Job said something great in the 31st chapter in the first verse of the book of Job. Now remember, Job is before we had the Bible. It's before we had the internal working of the Holy Spirit. The book of Job is the oldest book of the Bible, somewhere between Genesis 11 and Genesis 12. And here's what he said in Job 31:1. I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? I want you to listen to that. Here's a marvelous statement made way back in the dark ages. Job was smart enough to know he made a covenant with his eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? He knew that the only way to protect himself from evil thoughts and eventually adultery was to make a covenant with his eyes and guard what he watched. Why am I saying that? Because today, pornography is on every hand. It's on television. It's on the computer. It's easy to get to. You can see it in the privacy of your home or when nobody else is watching. Except, don't forget this, God is watching. God knows everything you're looking at. He knows everything you're putting into your mind and in your heart. This is a great day for Satan. Job knew this problem before there were magazines, movies, TV, computers. He knew the danger. David learned the danger. One of the great sins in David's life is when he should have been out on the field with his soldier. He was home. And he looked down from the roof of his house and saw Bathsheba taking a bath. What happened? Here he sees this beautiful woman. And that begins to capture his mind. And then he's thinking, after all, I'm king. What's this going to hurt? So he sends for Bathsheba. He commits adultery with Bathsheba. From that, she has a husband. This is a problem. So he sends for her husband. And he sends for her husband because Bathsheba's now expecting. And he thinks, well, he'll think it's his child if I bring him home from the field. But you know what he said? He said, I'm not going to go in and have the comfort of my home and sleep with my wife. No. So David had to have him killed. Look what happened. When he looked on the wrong thing and he began to concentrate in his mind, and Satan took that and began to develop it. Look at Samson over and over again. 7 times we're told of Samson. He looked upon a woman. What happened to him? Here's a man given a great strength by God in order to help Israel in a time with great struggle with the Philistines. What happened to him? He looked at the wrong thing and it destroyed him. Young man, you're in great danger. Satan has all kind of ways to convince you that you can control this, that it won't bother you. This is addictive. Paul says to us, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sin is deceptive. And it gets into our mind. And then it comes out in our lives. It's degenerative. It starts with evil or worthless thoughts. And it degenerates into absolute wickedness. A number of years ago, there was a man named Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy ruthlessly murdered at least 29 women. He beat them to death. It was horrible, the actions that he took in his life. Right before he was put to death for his murders, he was interviewed by a Christian psychologist. And he was asked, how did you get on this path? He said it all started with simple pornography. He said, I got caught up in pornography. And I couldn't get away from it. And then he said, I kind of transferred from that to watching horrible movies of great torture. Horror movies. And here this man who, seeing him just before he was put to death, was a good-looking, highly intelligent young man. Whole life totally destroyed. Not only his life destroyed, but he took the lives of at least 29 people. Their families grieved. How did it start? Simple pornography. Look at the destruction that was wrought after this man's life. Satan takes one of the greatest gifts God's given us in the human mind, and he uses it against God. Well, I'm standing here in this pulpit preaching to you this morning, knowing that some of you don't need a fence, you need a hospital. Because you've already climbed the fence and fallen off the cliff. What is the cure for this? What is the hospital like? Scripturally, there is escape for you. There is release for you. Listen to these verses from Psalm 119, 9 through 16. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. David said, with my whole heart I've sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips I've declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect to thy way. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. The cure is sure, but it's not simple. The cure is found in this little passage of Scripture in Psalm 119, along with many other places in the Bible. There must be a determination of the mind. Verse 10, with my whole heart I've sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments, from your orders, God. If you've been tricked by Satan, let me tell you the way to escape from it. With your whole heart, seek after God. Be sincere about this. Reach out for the truth of God's Word. And you can see from the Scripture that these things God has predicted will and can happen. Be seeking. Be steadfast in seeking God. There must be a diet for the mind. Look at verse 11, Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There's got to be a constant diet. You've got to be taking on the right thing. David said, I know what the right thing is. It's the word of God. There's got to be a purpose in seeking that word to protect me from failure. There must be a desire in the mind. Look at verse 12. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. I want to learn the right thing. I want to do the right thing. When Satan's in control, you don't want to do the right thing. When Satan's in control, you want to find a way to do the wrong thing. When God's in control, you want to do the right thing. There's got to be a strong dialogue from the mind. Look with me at verse 13 and 14. With my lips I've declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I've rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Paul has said it this way. Pray without ceasing. Be in constant contact with God. If you're in constant contact with God, you'll know what's wrong. The Holy Spirit will warn you and guard you and protect you. This passage of Scripture teaches us some great lessons. There must be a total devotion to the mind. Verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect to thy ways. What do you meditate on? What you've seen on that computer? What you've seen in a movie? Or what God said to you in His Word? No, it's not easy. It's difficult to make yourself do the right thing. But the rewards are worth it all. You're not going to live forever. You are going to face someday the decisions you've made and the directions you've taken in life. The end of it all, there's a great delight in the mind. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. This was after David's great sin. This was his hospital. This is the way he got cured. What are the instructions we have from Scripture? 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down all imaginations of every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's the cure. There's the hospital. There's the answer to the problems that you may already have. God loves us. God has given us a miraculous thing in this human mind. Satan has done everything he can to pervert it and to destroy it. I'll say to you what Spurgeon said to his congregation after preaching on this passage. Let the mind of your master be the master of your mind, and you will understand real freedom. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word, for the deliverance that you're willing and wanting to give us. Help us to see Satan and his wickedness, and help us to hide ourselves in your word, to be free from failure and enjoy and delight in knowing and loving you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's message serves as a reminder for us that we must be diligent in protecting our minds from the corruption of sinful thoughts by claiming the promise of God given to the psalmist in Psalm 119. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Today's message was preached by the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood. Thanks for joining us today, and we invite you to join us next time for a message by the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III, on Chapel Echoes, an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.